At this time, very quietly, the kids are dismissed for Asbury Church Kids. So if you want to begin making your way over, you're going to have a lot of fun today with Pastor Rachel. For everybody else, take your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And if you want to follow along with some of the notes, you can go to the Bible app, and we have our notes there. So at our Dryden service this morning, we had the wonderful opportunity to dedicate little Georgia and Lyle. So we did a dedication, and oh my goodness, is she an adorable little lady. But it's kind of interesting. How many remember, you know, becoming a parent for the first time? And you're like going, oh my goodness, it's a lot of work. How many know parenting is a lot of work? A little bit of responsibility. And it's kind of interesting because we think about children, we think about life, and how God, the creator our world, all this different stuff, entrusts us with incredible responsibility. And we are continuing our series on kingdom building. And the thing that just continues to amaze me is this, is that God entrusts us with his kingdom business. It was Jesus who said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I don't know about you, but how many of you feel that sometimes you're like going, oh my goodness, I got enough chaos in my own world. You want me to, you know, I'm trying to manage all my stuff, and you want me to be responsible for this whole kingdom building thing? And I want you to know that Jesus knows what he's doing, that God desires to do something in and through our lives. And part of this whole series, like I think we're week 6 now. I think I got 2 more messages left. But really, God wants to build his kingdom through us. Now, I was talking with someone the other day, and they were asking, how long have you been pastor of the church here? And it's hard to believe that we're approaching 22 years. You know, that just is, how many know that's just old, right? I started out when I was a teenager, and now here I am in my mid-30s, and it's been an amazing journey. But I remember as when I first started pastoring here, thinking about what God put on my heart, and which has become my prayer for our church and has been for over 2 decades. And my prayer for Asbury Church is that we might be a place where people experience the presence and power of God. There's something special that happens when God's people gather together in his name. Jesus said, "Where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst." How many are grateful that Jesus is here with us as we come and worship? And we need encounters with God. We need his presence. You know, as we sang, "Come Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken." God, we need you to do something. We need your presence. And my prayer is that as we gather in his name, whether it's in a service like this or whether we're just, you know, having some fun together, backyard barbecues, wherever, that as we gather, that it may be a place where people experience the presence and power of God. My prayer for our church is not only that, but that we may be a people who love well and live life to the full. We recognize that which Christ has called us to is to love. The two great commandments are this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like it, which is love your neighbor as yourself. We are called to love. And my prayer is that we would be a church who loves well. How many know lots of people love, but not everybody loves well? Can I get a witness on this one? And God, would you help us love as you love? God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you grateful that on our worst day, we were loved? And how we know that God calls us to be a people who love even when people are on their worst day, to manifest this love, to love in a healthy way, but not only that, to live life to the full. We believe that God has fashioned us and formed us not only with purpose, but for purpose. And the fullness of life is found as we step into our divine purpose. And our prayer is, God, would you help? My prayer is, God, would you help us not only love well, but live life to the full? And I'm convinced the life Jesus has for us is something that we get to enjoy and not just something we have to endure. How many of you have been in situations where you felt like you just had to endure it, right? Yet God doesn't call us just to endure this world. I believe that he's called us to enjoy it because we serve a God who loves to pour blessing out upon our lives. And we just get to say, Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us. And so I pray, God, would you help us be a place where people experience the presence and power of God. But Lord, not only that, let us people be a people who love well and live life to the full. The third thing I pray for is this, is that we would be a power that influences and impacts our communities, country, and world for the glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom. I don't believe that Asbury Church was designed and fashioned by God, placed in this time, in this location, in the areas that we serve. I don't think he did it just because he had nothing better to do. I believe that God has fashioned us in order that we might be a people that have an impact upon our world. And even though there may be moments where we wrestle with our own stuff, that God says, listen, I have created you to be a part of something so much bigger than just you. And that we've been invited to build the kingdom, to be a power that influences and impacts our community, our communities, our country, and our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we've been looking at this idea of kingdom building, because this is kind of where this whole stuff comes, and I want you to know, even though I've been here 22 years, this still sits deep in my heart, these three prayers. And part of this whole series is, God, would you really help us be who you've called us to be? And so we're looking at, what does it take to build the kingdom? And so we've recognized that it requires the wise use of our time. Remember, Rome wasn't built in a day. And so it's going to require our time, not only our time, but also our attention. We need to be present. We need to be here, right? We recognize how grateful we are that Jesus is here with us. And there's something that happens that wherever you go, this is what just blows my mind. Did you know wherever you go, you bring the presence of God with you? Because his presence is in you. That wherever you go, when you step into like the grocery store, your place of employment, if you go to school, as wherever you go, when you step in, you are bringing the presence of Christ with you. And so when we're present, we need to be present so that we might allow that presence in us to impact that which is around us. Well, last week we began talking about not only what does it take to build the kingdom, not only time and attention, but we began to look at this idea of that it's going to require generosity. It's going to require us being generous people, open-handed people. The big idea last week was simply that kingdom-minded people are to be an open-handed people. That we are to live with open hands. And we talked how the foundation, like the ground floor of generous living, begins with faithfulness in regards to tithing. That we say, okay, so as we want to live generous lives, we have to establish the discipline, the foundation of tithing. And then as we do, it begins to set the stuff and space so that we can actually live ridiculously generous. And so today, as we continue our series on kingdom building, I want to talk about planning to be generous. Because I believe that we actually have to be intentional about being generous. Now, what does it mean to be generous? It means to give beyond what's expected. Have you ever met generous people in your life who ended up bringing more or providing more for you than you expected? Another definition of generosity is the picture of, again, open-handed people. And so what we want to do is we want to think about, well, okay, so how do we begin to live generous? Because we have to be intentional about it. And this is my conviction. A generous God desires his children to reflect his generous heart. And I'll say this again and again and again. How many know we serve a generous God? I love Psalm 145. He opens his hands and satisfies the desires of every living thing. That our God is a God who loves just to open his hands and to bless. And we are to be people that reflect his heart. Not tight-fisted, but open-handed. And so when it comes to generosity, if God wants us to be generous, we have to be intentional about it. Now, how many have ever heard the saying, if you fail to plan, plan to fail, right? If you fail to plan, plan to fail. Like, there's this part, if we're going to be generous, we actually have to make a plan to be generous. See, intentionality in life isn't enough. We actually need actuality. Not just intentionality, actuality. How many know there's lots of people, and I see this, not just here, but just throughout the world. How many know that people intend to be generous? But just because you intend to be generous doesn't mean people are always generous. We get caught up, we get distracted, we get busy, we get all these different things. And so there's lots of stuff we can intend, but just because we intend to do something doesn't mean we do it. So think about this with me. How many of you have ever had a healthy intention? I'm going to eat better. I'm going to exercise more. How many have had that healthy intention? How many of that healthy intentions need healthy actions? Because it doesn't matter how much you intend to be healthy. For you to be healthy, you have to act healthy. Do you get my understanding on this one? How many of you, your intention is to make wise decisions? And wise decisions, yeah, I want to make a wise decision, but how many know wise decisions actually need wise actions? Like, intentionality is not enough. You have to actualize it. It has to become something that's acted upon. Godly intentions need godly actions. It was John Ortberg that said, it's not enough to try to be like Jesus. You have to train to be like Jesus. You actually have to act in a way that's consistent with the thing that you're trying to be. And so here's my thing. Generous intentions need generous actions. And so we actually have to plan to be generous. You see, generosity should be something more than just what we hope to be, but something we actually purposefully develop in our lives. And so here's my big idea. You ready for my big idea? Okay, are you guys feeling okay this morning? Because you guys are like a little tired. How many a little tired yet? Shake it off, right? Feel like Taylor Swift, shake it off. Okay, this is my big idea. Because if we can understand this, I think it really helps this whole generosity thing really easy. Makes it easier. Here it is. You ready for it? God brings blessing to us so that he might bring blessing through us. I want you to understand that this is why we can be generous. Because God brings blessing to us so that he might bring blessing through us. God's heart and his desire is actually to bring blessing to people. Did you know that? Like, God looks at our broken and messed up world, and he doesn't go, you know what, I'm just done with that. We're just going to ignore that. He says, no, listen, my desire and my heart is actually to bring blessing. The whole reason Jesus came was so that broken people and our broken world might be restored by his grace. God brings blessing because he wants to bless. And not only does he want to bless, get blessing to people, he wants to get blessing to people through people. So God brings blessing to us so that he might bring blessing through us. If you grew up in church, you remember singing the song, Father Abraham? Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right arm. Remember how many did this? You tell who grew up in church. You're like going, okay, why were we singing, Father Abraham had many sons, and I am one of them? Because we're actually the descendants of Abraham. Not necessarily genetically, but spiritually. That Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, so also we believe God and it changes our lives completely. We're credited with righteousness, and so we're actually considered the descendants of Abraham. I want you to think about this. If you know the story of Abraham, God calls Abraham and says, I want you to leave your nation, your father, your mother. I want you to go to the land that I will show you. And listen to what he says, and I will bless you. And then he says this, and through you, all the nations on earth will be blessed. You are a descendant of Abraham, and God's desire is to release blessing upon your life so that blessing might flow to others. There's a blessing that God is trying to get through you in order to impact our world. And really, this is the heart of kingdom building, that God has blessed us so that we might be a blessing to others. Let me ask you, how many of you feel a little blessed this morning? Okay, how many know that if you got out of bed this morning, you were blessed? You're blessed. Oh my goodness. If you're somewhat vertical, some of you lean a little, I understand. Maybe hunch a little, but that's okay. But how many know you're toward vertical, and how many know that's a blessing? How many of you got breath in your lungs this morning? Amen? How many know you're blessed? How many know that God has given you a mind and you can think and you can hear? You're blessed. How many of you got to church today because your car, you went in, you put the key in, you turned it, and it started? Bless the Lord. How many of you had that morning where you got into the car, turned the key, and nothing happens? And you're like, oh man. But you got in this morning, and many of you didn't even think about the blessing that it was to turn it on, and my goodness, it started. How many of you woke up this morning in a house that was toward warm? Because even though it might get cold outside, you got things in your house that keep you warm. How many know you're blessed? How many of you know, some of you know what you're doing tomorrow because you've got a job, and that job is a blessing from God? How many know God blesses our life? You are blessed. And you know what? You need to let your face and your life reflect the fact that you are blessed. And God has blessed you, and there's a blessing he's brought to you, and now there's a blessing he wants to bring through you. Now, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he is encouraging them and reminding them of a commitment that they made. Now, what had been going on in this time was that in Jerusalem, there were dire circumstances happening with the church. And the church in Corinth, which was hundreds of miles away, was just like going, you know what? Oh my goodness, they are dealing with all this stuff. We're blessed, and we want to be a blessing to them. And so they made a commitment. Hey, we're going to be a blessing to them. And so Paul's writing, because he's like going, hey, do you guys remember your commitment to bless someone else? I just want to remind you of it. And I'm going to just demonstrate an example, because there's another church that was also being blessed, and they wanted to be a blessing. And so he begins to talk about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in chapter 8 and 9. And it's just an amazing passage, both chapters, on what generosity looks like. But I want to read it to you this morning. And it says this, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given. Everybody say, grace given. How many know that God's grace has been given to us? And he's like, guys, I want you to know about the grace. And just so you know, grace are the gifts that flow from love. Because God loves us, he fills our lives with good things. I want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial. Everybody say severe trial. Okay, so the people in the Macedonian churches, they are going through a difficult time. Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty. Everybody say extreme poverty. It welled up in rich generosity. Say rich generosity. There's a reason why I'm having you say these words. Because sometimes in our lives, we're just like going, you know what? My circumstances limit my capacity to be generous. But I want you to know there's a grace that's been given. Regardless of our circumstances, that causes things to rise up within us in order that we might be generous. And Paul writes, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability." Say, beyond their ability. Good night. Beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave them first of all to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace. Everybody say, act of grace. So it's not just about intention, it actually turns into action. There's an act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. So grace has come to us through Christ, and Paul's challenging the church. Now, guys, allow the grace that's come to you become grace that flows through you. Now, what I want to do is I want to note five really quick. Everybody say really quick.
Really quick.
You're like five. Five really quick ideas about generosity. How many want me to go really quick? Say really quick.
Yes, really quick.
That was pretty weak. You guys want me to drag them out? I'll do it.
Yes, really quick.
Really quick. All right. Here's five things about generosity. You ready for them? If you're taking notes, write these down because these are important. First of all, generosity is more than an economics issue. Okay, understand, generosity is more than an economics issue. It says their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. See, the reality is no one in the kingdom is too poor to give. Because grace has been given to us, grace can flow through us. And one of the ways that you become more generous in your life is by becoming more grateful. How to become more generous in your life? Become more grateful. You see, generosity is more than an economics issue. It's ultimately a heart issue. Okay, how many know one of our favorite pastimes in America is to complain? Can I get a witness on this one?
Yes.
How many of you, you're driving and the person in front of you is so slow?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, good Lord, what is wrong with you? Yesterday, I was driving to a graveside service. And I was following a white Mercedes who was going ridiculously slow. And I'm getting a little bent in my spirit, and I want to start saying things, except they have a little fish on the back of their car. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, maybe they're going to show up at the graveside, so I better like not be too like on their rear, riding them too hard or anything like that. But how many know we like to complain? They're not going fast enough. You know, we just, our jobs, how many of you work with like terribly imperfect people? How many, if that's you, raise your hand. Good, Pastor Duane didn't raise his hand. He knows better. But we work with people, and it's so easy to complain. Did you see what they did? And we complain about, oh my goodness, my house isn't big enough. I don't have enough money. We complain. And in our complaining, it causes us to shrink our circle. And instead of becoming generous, we begin to hold more tightly to the stuff than we deserve or need or should. You see, what we need to do, you need to all understand that generosity ultimately is not an economics issue, it's a heart issue. Secondly, generous people are willing to stretch themselves. Like when you're generous, You're willing to go beyond what is expected or even anticipated. I love what it says. They gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Have you ever met those people in your life? They're like going, hey, you know what? Be generous. I've met people that are like so generous, and sometimes there are people that don't even have a lot of stuff. And you're just like going, no, you don't have to give anything. No. It's like, no, I want to give. They go beyond expectation. Listen, generous people are willing to stretch. They are willing to inconvenience themselves in order that others might be blessed. This is a really big idea. Generous people are willing to inconvenience themselves so that others might be blessed. Thirdly, see, I'm moving along really quickly. This is for you, John. Generosity cannot be compelled, but must be freely chosen. You need to understand this about generosity. Generosity cannot be compelled. It must be freely chosen. I love what it says. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. Just so you know, compelled giving is not the same as generosity. How many of you pay taxes? You're compelled to give. But how many know, even though you're compelled to give, you don't feel very generous? Right? Compelled giving is not generosity. And this is why, as we think about this whole thing, I said last week, what is the foundation for generosity? It's actually giving of your tithe. It's recognizing the first tenth belongs to God. It's what's required. It's what is expected. Giving of an offering is beyond it. So the first dollar above your tithe is when you really step into generous giving. And generosity is saying, okay, you know what? I'm going beyond what is expected. And just so you know, Jesus wants his followers to be generous people. Do you remember when he said, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go two? How many remember this? We call this second mile. The reason why he said that is because in Roman culture, like in the world that Jesus occupied, the Roman government, a Roman soldier could conscript you right in the moment. It didn't matter what they were doing. If they said, hey, I want you to carry this boulder, you are required by law to carry it. If not, they could execute you. How fun is that? How many think that would cause you to be a little bit resentful walking that whole mile? Carrying something that you were being forced to. I would rather be doing something else, but you don't get to do something else because if you don't do it, you're going to be, And then Jesus says, hey, when they force you to go 1 mile, what I want you to do is I want you to go two, because the first mile is demanded, the second is chosen. Let me tell you about what generosity does. It goes beyond what's expected. It's not about what's compelled, it's what I choose. See, Paul will talk about this a little bit later in chapter 9, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians, where he says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. He's talking about the offering, the above the tithe stuff. He's saying, each of you should give what you have decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Because generosity, when you begin to give and you're giving beyond what's expected, not because you have to, but because you want to, it actually affects your disposition. Haven't seen a lot of happy people on April 15th giving money to the government. Again, generosity cannot be compelled, but must be freely chosen. Fourthly, biblical generosity is divinely focused and divinely directed. Like this biblical generosity, it says they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God also to us. They gave first to God. And so this is the idea that, you know what, we give from a relationship of God having first place in our life. But not only that, it's an act of alignment. They gave first to the Lord and then according to the will of God to us. And there's this part that I believe that God longs to direct us to be generous with what it is he's entrusted to us. Lastly, look at these. See how fast I'm going on five? You guys are like, we'll be out of here by noon. Yeah, it's not going to happen, John. I'm sorry, buddy. Generosity, let me go through these really quick. Generosity is more than an economics issue. Generous people are willing to stretch themselves. Generosity cannot be compelled but must be freely chosen. Biblical generosity is divinely focused and divinely directed. And lastly, generosity is a grace that God wants to develop in our lives. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. Why does God want us to grow in the grace of giving? Because there's a blessing He wants to get to us so that there might be a blessing He can get through us to others. God works through His people to bring blessing into our world. And this is so important because, again, God brings blessing to us so that we might bring blessing through us. And this is why we need to be generous. How awful would it be that God says, listen, I want to bless the world, but the blessing gets stuck in us. Anybody here ever have a backed up toilet? How many know those things? They just make life miserable. You know what I'm talking about? Because how many know that a toilet is supposed to have a through thing, not just a to thing? Does that make sense? It's not, and the reason I say this is because sometimes in our lives, we end up creating more mess in our life because we have not allowed blessing to flow through us, and we've just tried to make it a to us thing. God is bringing blessing to us so that He might bring blessing through us. And this is why I say we actually have to plan to be generous. To plan to be generous, not just having the intention of it, but actually the activity, the action of it. And really, this is what I think a kingdom-building giver looks like. They're the kind of people that honor God with tithe, but also going beyond the tithe, and they're saying, hey, you know what? I want to be generous with what God has entrusted to me. See, one of the unique things about giving is this. It actually allows us to partner with others to build the kingdom. Locally, globally, and future Christian leaders to build into the next generation. And I want you to know, the reason I share this message, once again, isn't because Asbury Church is a stingy people. I actually share it because we're a generous people. I want you to know that Asbury Church is a generous church. Now, I'm going to need some help. How many know Pastor Dave needs lots of help? Pastor Dwayne, could you take one of these, pass them out? Patrick, can you pass them out? I know how it is in church. You got to move sometimes. Okay, pass these out. I want you to see, as a church, these are our kingdom building initiatives. We as a church give to bless people locally, bless people globally, and to invest in the next generation. And so I actually have a list of the ways that we as a church get who it is we partner with. And all of these are partnerships that we do because we're a generous church. Just a heads up, did you know every time that you give a tithe, it is our commitment to tithe on the tithe to these kingdom building initiatives? And we actually go beyond that. But I want you to see, when you give of your tithe, and when you begin to give beyond your tithe, these are ways that your kingdom building dollars are being used. So we use it for benevolence. What is benevolence? When there is a need within the church, because sometimes, how many know sometimes life sneaks up on you and sometimes life just happens where you don't have resource. And as a church, I want you to know we care about the people in our church and we step into people's situations to help them financially. We've helped with lights. We have helped with food. We as a church are incredibly generous, and I just want to say thank you. Did you know some of the giving shows up not just in dollars, but sometimes in dinners? Not just dollars, but dinners. So one of the things that we've done, even with Nellie, she's fallen, you know, just with the stuff with her ankle, that as a church, we have different ones in our congregations that have signed up to bring a meal to them. We have people that bring meals. Not just to people who are dealing with like health things, but people who are like all sorts of things. So like we want to help and to be a generous church. We're the kind of church that's generous. Not only that, Thanksgiving baskets. And we'll talk about that more in the coming weeks. Again, for people in the church and beyond the church. The school in Lansing, We have partnered with them the last number of years, and we help provide Thanksgiving baskets to the school. They contacted us again, and we're just like, hey, would your church be able to help some of the families in our school district during this time by providing baskets? And so we're gonna provide another 30 Thanksgiving baskets to the school on top of what we'll give to people in the congregation and in our circles. We have building renovations. We have Ithaca Pregnancy Center. We have outreach ministries like Trunk or Treat. We have Willow Glen Christian School. Like we help people locally, but not only that, global initiatives. We give to missionaries, and you see the whole list of missionaries and ministries. We give South America, Central America, in the U.S., beyond, you know, overseas, all sorts of places. Actually, you'll note that there's actually one of the categories where we give globally as a church. It'll say missionaries in undisclosed locations. And the reason we do that is because there are missionaries that we support that we cannot say their name, nor can we say the country that they are in, and we can publish nothing about it because of the sensitivity of the countries that they're in, that if it got found out, they could be removed from the country. Like, that's just, I want you to know, we believe that the message of Jesus Christ changes lives, and the generosity of Asbury Church has tentacles that goes all around the world, not only there, but also investing in the next generation of leaders, and whether that's through our network or through our general council or whether it's through a university, we want to invest in the next generation. And this is so important for you to understand. This is a generous church. This is, and I say thank you so much for your generosity, because there's a blessing that God's brought to us, and there's a blessing that God longs to bring through us. Just so you know, in a couple weeks, November 10th, we're going to be having a Kingdom Builders Banquet at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening at our Dryden campus, that we're all going to come together, and we're just going to celebrate what God is doing in and through Asbury Church. And so I want to invite you to plan to be there. It's just going to be a great time just to celebrate God's faithfulness as we think about the fact that as a people, as like you and me, just ordinary people, God doing something through our lives to bless around the world. Now, as I get ready to close, how many are ready for me to close? I'm trying to crush this through the whole thing. This is so good. I'll invite the worship team up so that way I'll go even faster. So what I want to challenge you with, this is what I want to challenge everyone. Last week I challenged you to be faithful in the giving of your tithes. That's being faithful with saying, God, I'm going to honor you with the first 10%. And if you missed the message, it's online. You can go to Facebook. It's online. You can go to our YouTube account. It's online. We talked about tithing as a foundation for generosity. But not only do I want to challenge you to be faithful in your tithe, but to develop a regular practice of giving an offering, a kingdom builder offering above and beyond your tithe. Let me tell you, there is more need than there is resource. Like there are individuals, there are missionaries, there are organizations that, boy, I would love to partner with, but again, we're generous, and I think God wants to grow our capacity. And I think that as we think about it, there are three questions we actually have to wrestle with in order for us to be generous, kingdom-building givers. And the first question is simply this: what's in your hand? What's in your hand? And what's in your hand is just simply saying, hey, we all have something. Nobody is too poor that they can't give. Because again, generosity is more than economics. It's actually about the heart. So we have to ask, what is in our hands? And maybe part of that generosity is for a season. Everybody say a season. Okay, for a season, set aside something and say, instead of spending my money on X, I'm going to give it to kingdom building. So for example, I know some people in our congregation, I'm not saying you have to do this. Each one should decide in their heart what to give. I'm just giving an example. We have people in our congregation that love coffee, and they don't mind running out to Dunkin' Donuts once a day and getting coffee, or twice a day. You know what you could do? Like, this is a giving idea. Hey, what about this? for a season. Everybody say a season. Some of you are going to say, my season is one day. Some of you are going to say, my season is going to be 1 week or 2 days. Some of you are going to say, my season is going to be the afternoon. But for a season, what would it look like in your life to say, hey, you know what? I'll forgo coffee for a day, 2 days, a week, maybe a month. And every dollar that I would have spent buying a coffee for me, I'm just going to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to make that my kingdom builder offering above and beyond the tithe for a season. Not forever, but just for a moment. Just say, hey, you know what? I just want to practice generosity. Now, how many know that you're not going to die if you don't have your coffee for a week? Someone in your realm may die, but you won't. Okay? But what's in your hand? And sometimes, because we're in the place sometimes where we say, well, I don't have enough to give. But what would it look like if you gave beyond what was expected and you say, hey, you know, this is what I want to choose to do. I want to be generous, not just in faithful in my tithe, but beyond it, and say, hey, you know, for this season, I'm just going to set this aside and I'm going to do this. What would it look like? What's in your hand? That's the first question. Second question is this. What is in God's hand? See, because the big idea today is simply this, that there's something that God wants to bless us with. He wants to bring blessing to us so that he might get blessing through us. Do you know what I believe? This is my conviction. God wants to work with us to get blessing to his world. Like, God wants to get blessing to us. And by that, I'm not saying that he's going to give us, like, mountains of cash and capital. So sometimes it's just he can give us an idea. Sometimes it can be all sorts of things. But it's just saying, God, what is in your hand? Lord, some of you, you'll see a need. It'll move your heart, and you're like, going, God, what is it that's in your hand that we can get to these people? Like, more than just what's in my hand, God, what is it that you would love to do for these people? And God, I want to be a vessel through whom you can work. Because I'm convinced God wants to work through your life more than you realize. Which brings me to the third question. And this is the big one. And just so you know, this is such a big question that as you wrestle with it and as you come to an answer for it, This is not something that you're going to want to go just share with everybody right away. But I believe that if you will allow this question to resonate, it will begin to prepare you to live a life that influences impacts far greater than you imagine. And the question is simply this. What is in your heart? What is in your heart? Like, if you could give a dream amount to build a kingdom, what would it be? Well, like, to dream. Now, next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Because I believe the Holy Spirit, when we come into a right relationship with God, the Spirit of God begins to put dreams in our hearts for things that are way bigger than we imagine. There's a story in Genesis. We're going to start talking about it, I think, next week or this coming week in our Bible engagement project, and that is about Joseph. If you know anything about the story of Joseph in Genesis, you know how his life begins. He has a dream. And his dream is such that, you know, all these people are going to bow down to him and stuff like that. But it was really about the fact that God was going to use his life in such a way to put him in a place of authority that he might be a blessing to people. And as you read through the story, you'll find out life wasn't a straight shot to the top. He went through ups and downs. He went through all these different things. But there was a dream that God had put in his heart. And one day he goes from the place where he's in a prison and God elevates him to the second highest place where he begins to have an influence in such a way that he is blessing not only the nation that he's a part of, but the nations all around. And God gave him a dream. And I would ask you, what dream is God putting in your heart to build his kingdom? Not what dream is he putting in your heart for your life, or for your kingdom, but to build his kingdom. Like, what dream is he awakening in you, like going, oh my goodness, boy, I would love to be a part of this. And it may be something huge and spectacular. It might be like ginormous. It'd be something like, you know, in my lifetime, I want to be able to give $100,000 to missions. where I want to give $1 million to missions through my life. Now, how many know that's a pretty big idea? It's a long ways from just a cup of coffee for a couple days. But you say, God, what dream would you put in my heart? Because this is my conviction. God wants to awaken a dream in your heart because there's something he wants to do in you, because there's something he wants to do through you that's far bigger than you imagine. And you know how you begin to live your dream? I remember hearing a pastor say this once, what I'm going to share with you next, that it changed me. Now, for me, it's always been about having a dream of what God wanted to do. My prayer that I said at the beginning, pray that we might be a place where people experience the presence and power of God, that we might be a people who love well, live life to the full, that we might be a power that influences and impacts our community, country, and world for the glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom. I have had a dream in my heart. But when I heard a pastor say something, it began to change me. And it's connected with the story of Joseph, because in the story of Joseph, you know what you find out? Joseph isn't the only one with a dream. There was a baker. There was a cupbearer. There was a Pharaoh. And I remember this pastor saying, in order to live your dream, sometimes you have to become a part of someone else's dream. And for Joseph to serve in the place that he served was a consequence of the fact that he began to participate in Pharaoh's dream. And I want you to know, this is why I think partnerships and this whole kingdom building stuff is so important. This is why we invest in our missionaries and these different ministries, because you know what? We recognize that it is through the partnership of sharing in other people's dreams to see the kingdom advance that God does something in and through our lives that opens doors and opportunities that are far bigger than we imagine. So as you plan to be generous, ask yourself the question, what's in your hand? What's in God's hand? And what's in your heart? Again, generosity is more than economic issues. It's about people being generous and willing to stretch themselves. Generosity cannot be compelled, but must be freely chosen. It needs to be divinely focused and divinely directed. And for us, it is the recognition that God wants to develop something in our lives. I believe so deeply that God wants to do something through our lives. Something greater than we can ask or imagine. And I know there's a lot of things in our world that we wrestle with. But when we begin to say, God, help me build your kingdom, and we choose generosity, I want you to know there's a blessing that God will bring to you, because there's a blessing he wants to get through you. And when you begin to do it, I don't know how, but it's amazing to be a vessel and just experience just the blessing of being a vessel through whom God is working and doing something. And that's what he wants to do with all of us. And so I want to challenge you. Would you please prayerfully consider, as a part of your generous life, would you consider a regular kingdom-building offering to help us see the kingdom of God impact lives locally, globally, and for the development of future leaders? Would you consider, above and beyond the tithe the foundation, would you go beyond what's expected and allow God to speak to your hearts? Lord Jesus, I thank you. The Lord, you have given us the wonderful task and privilege and opportunity to build your kingdom. And God, I thank you that there's a dream that you want to release in every heart here. A dream that's bigger than our issues, our problems. A dream to touch and change lives. A dream to honor you. I dream to see your kingdom come. And God, I pray that you would awaken in each one of us a new level of generosity. I thank you that you are faithful and good. And there's a blessing that you want to get to people. And so, God, here we are, vessels through whom you can work. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, your kindness, and your love. May you be glorified in everything we do and say. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's all stand together.
So take my life, I lay it down at the cross where I am found, and all I have I give to you, my God. So take my hands and make them clean. Keep my heart in purity, that I may walk in all you have for me. Oh, here I stand, arms open wide.
Ooh.
God, that's our prayer. Lord, I just pray blessing right now upon your people. Lord, I pray that as we go through this week, that God, you would awaken dreams in our hearts. God, I pray that you would just allow us to begin to believe for something far greater. God, we're your children. Lord, we thank you that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. And so, God, here we are. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't you know I love you? Why don't you know I'm praying for you? I'm praying that God will begin to give you dreams for something greater. As you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you, and give you peace. Go in his strength and his might. Hug a few necks on the way out. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We'll see you all soon. God bless.